We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
We took a break last week from Amin Alhassan's Sun Saga, the story of Amin and how he became ESPN front office insider. We concentrated on his time in a front office with the Phoenix Suns. We took a break from that last week to talk about all the crazy Kyrie Irving NBA news that was out there. It was a pretty hectic week in terms of news, so I wanted to pick his brain on that. But this week we are back to telling your story. When last we spoke about your time with the Phoenix Suns, Shaquille O'Neal was a member of the Phoenix Suns. Terry Porter had just replaced Mike D'Antoni as head coach. It's not going well. He had put Steve Nash in an awful defensive position to just try to prove a point against Steve Nash. And then Shaq takes a bunch of Arizona people to the Super Bowl, or is at least inviting them all to a Super Bowl to watch the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals in Tampa as a big treat. The big guy giving a gift out. And Terry Porter plans a practice the day of the Super Bowl. Nuking these plans, I mean?
Nuking the plans. And it's not just a bunch of Arizona people. I'm telling you, like, our staff was like three crazy Cardinals fans. And if you're, you know anything, the Cardinals, maybe they've been a little better recently, but at that point in time in history, like, they had one good year with Jake Plummer, and that was it. Like, that team was trash. So the idea that they were in the Super Bowl was shocking enough. And then you got the head trainer, who's the biggest Steeler fan. And it's a dude that talks a lot of shit. Like, as trainers do. I don't know why. Trainers, for the most part, are very shit-talking people. They're the most honest people you'll find in an NBA organization. Because they know their performance is not judged by, like, how the team does, wins and losses. It's not judged by, like, the players like them. It's judged by health. You know, they can get, keep the team relatively healthy. So as a result, you get the added advantage of being just incredibly blunt. And you're talking about trainers, just blunt people. And they speak in a way that's, you know, can be downright disrespectful sometimes, but that's because their job, again, is to keep everybody healthy, so, like, they don't have to take a lot of guff. As you imagine, that kind of bleeds out a little bit into everyday life, and so these guys are talking trash all the time about all types of things. And there you have it. The two favorite teams of the training staff are in the Super Bowl. Shaq is feeling spry. He feels so great. He's like, oh, man, got to take care of you guys. Chartered private jet out, right, to wherever the Super Bowl was, and he's getting getting them a suite, right? So this is hundreds of thousands of dollars probably Shaq is about to drop here. And Terry says, you know, we had a bad loss on the Saturday before. Said, you know what? We're practicing tomorrow. And it was just one of those, oh, no, he didn't.
Terry knew of these plans?
I don't know if he did or didn't. I know he didn't care. And again, like, it's one thing. The thing is, if we had a team of, like, 21, 22-year-old, I think we would have understood, we meaning other people, you know, management or on the staff or whatever. But, you know, you got vets, man. Again, Shaquille O'Neal, Steve Nash, Grant Hill, Amari Stoudemire. You don't do that stuff to a vet team.
So does Shaq say something to Terry once this news breaks of practice happening on Sunday? Shaq's like, hey, come here, TP. I gotta talk to you, and it doesn't fly?
If he did, I don't know about it. I just know the moment he said it, and we did the, my man, the gist where he goes.
The solo cup, backyard. Oof.
Yeah. GIF.
So they go through with practice that day, right?
Yeah, we practiced and everything.
And no one goes to the Super Bowl.
No one goes to the Super Bowl. We're professionals, man. We do our job.
How much money did this cost Shaq? Because I imagine he has to put down some money for some of this. It's not like, oh, well, hey, guys, I'm not going to be able to make it. I'm sure this is money out of Shaq's pocket already.
Again, like I said, private jet. And I'm not talking about, you know, a little rinky-dink crop duster. Like, it's just Shaq here. So you fly in the PJ. You got the hotels, transportation, the limo service in the airport to the venue. Tickets in a suite. I mean, for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you got to lock that in,
dude. That's a lot of money. I don't know how much, but that's a lot of money.
So, what are the ramifications of this this practice that cancels everybody's plans? How do things start turning?
That was when that was the last straw, so to speak. I don't remember what day that was, but we probably had another 2 weeks, right? Because if it was Super Bowl and All-Star Weekend, which was in Phoenix that year, was 2 weeks later. So we play out the 2 weeks. You win some, you lose some, yada, yada, yada. And then the rumors really start to pick up, man. During All-Star Weekend, I'll never forget, I was at an event. I was at the Vitamin Water event.
Capturing a time.
Oh my, yeah, the Vitamin Water event at the Mondrian, right? Like, it doesn't exist anymore.
You have just put us in a place, in a time and place in history. Oh, man. Vitamin Water had so much promotional money.
Oh, dude. Imagine a whole party where, like, every drink had to be Vitamin Water as a chaser. So, we're there and keep hearing, yo, did Terry get let go? And I'm like, nah, man, like, nah, they wouldn't do it in the middle of All-Star Weekend, dude, you know. Like, because, you know, if you're not coaching or doing something All-Star Weekend, typically if you're an NBA person, you get a vacation. All these coaches and stuff, they go to the Bahamas or whatever. Like, they're not sitting there, you know, intently focused on the game, on the All-Star game or anything like that. So we're like, I was like, no, I hadn't heard anything. And if they were going to do anything, they're going to do it. They wouldn't do it in the middle of All-Star Weekend. They wouldn't do that. And I hear it more and more. And I saw one of the assistant coaches for the Knicks, who, of course, had been with us. And he was grinning ear to ear because in New York, they're like, it's –
it was going pretty well for D'Antoni at first.
That first year was like, because the first 2 years were like tanking.
Yeah, to rebuild and eventually signed Amari, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Yeah. But at that point, like, they just got there for a few months. So it was like everyone knew what the deal was. So it's like, here's a shit ton of money, live in New York City, and you guys don't even have to win because we're just trying to clear the books up. It was like, oh my God, these guys are the king of the world. And I don't blame him. I was like, yeah. So he was saying, hey, man, I heard you guys have some, it's not going so well. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's tough, man. You know, he's my guy, so I wasn't going to lie to him. Like, no, it's great, it's great. He's like, yeah, it's tough. I don't think he really understands the way we want things to be done. It's, you know, and this wasn't what we agreed to. And so, but at that point I knew, like, all right, this is a rumor with legs.
So who do you reach out to at the Suns, and when does this become official?
So I reached out. I reached out to somebody who didn't reach out back to me, which for me, that in my gut is usually something's happening, because it's happened before where, you know, like, no one's talking. They get weird. Whenever something big's about to happen, everybody gets really quiet and stupidly awkward. Like, I'm always like,
that's how most NBA sources confirm stuff. When I reach out to people to find out if something's going on, and they don't say no, That's usually a big red flag that something's going on to it.
I'm telling you, like, we had a very loose office, right? So you walk in and, like, not that many people, first of all, and you got, everyone's got something funny to say. Oh, look at this bastard. Oh, nice to walk in. Oh, like, hey, did you oversleep, et cetera, right? And then when something big is happening, like, everyone's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, come on, man.
All right, so he gets fired All-Star Weekend?
Gets fired All-Star Weekend.
How does this go over with the locker room? How does this go over? It leaks before he knows. So how does this go over with Terry?
It leaks during All-Star Weekend. So then they fire him during All-Star Weekend as a result, right? Like, I think they made the decision, but they said, we'll wait until afterwards so Duke can enjoy his break. And in the middle, it leaks. And so they have to do it at that point. Now, the story of how it leaked is one of the great behind the scenes stories, right? If you want to know like how NBA teams work, right? Cause the idea of a team firing a coach, right? That's a fairly common occurrence. So apparently the admin for Steve Kerr was this lovely woman. You know, she's in her, you know, 50s or 60s or something like that. Very pleasant and on point. Everything was super organized, right? And she, of course, had the communications and they were talking about all this and she's sitting right there. And so her son is a huge Suns fan. This lady being a nice lady, she's like, you know what? Little Jimmy, huge Suns fan. He'll get a kick out of this. Like, you know the news right before everybody else does. Right? What's the harm? It's going to happen anyway. You know, so what's on me telling them 2 days ago? This little stupid shit, rather than just being grateful, my mother is a saint and she works for my favorite team and she's giving me this inside scoop. Oh my God. Hosts a blog. Terry Porter to be fired.
What, like on WordPress?
This is back in, like, I think MySpace had blogs everywhere. Like, blogs were, it wasn't like it is now, right?
But he makes a social media post of some sort. And and it starts picking up steam.
Yes. And so it wasn't hard to deduce, okay, wait, what? How did this? We didn't talk to anybody. Did you talk to me? I didn't talk to anybody. Like, I didn't even know. You guys didn't tell me. So.
And the source is like one generation removed. It was very easy to figure out the origin.
Same last name. And the last name was super, super like unique. It's not like Johnson. It was, I don't want to say her name. So
it's all right, but we get it. So then Steve Kerr and the Suns front office have to move. Make this right with Terry Porter. Terry serves how long of a contract?
He had a 3-year deal with an option on the 4th, I believe, and we fired him within like 4 months.
What's the reaction in the locker room to the firing of Terry Porter?
And by the way, Alvin Gentry is now the head coach. The reaction is the first 3 games out of the break, we scored 140 points a game. I mean, it was because, like, the first thing Alvin comes in is like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stop all this slow down shit. We're going to go back to how we do things. All right, first of all, and I remember last time I told you, or two episodes ago, I told you guys about this play called 21, the play that changed the world, as I call it. The first thing Alvin does, all right, we're going to do this, and we'll run this way, and we call it 21. We don't call it pistol. Like, he just started, like... tearing down like
so he is winning over the locker room by just being anti-Terry Porter essentially with his philosophy.
Well, I mean, not that first practice, he doesn't have to win over the locker room. Everybody loves Alvin, right? That's one. Two, everyone had been there. Alvin had been there when we were successful, so people knew he was gonna come in with something else that was cockamamie. And three, like, I think he just wanted to set the tone for that first practice, like, we're going back to what made us successful. We're not going to do any of these things.
Where are you?
I'm sorry. 28 and 23.
All right. Yeah. I was going to ask, like, where you were in the league standings when you make this move, and then how far do you guys ascend?
So it's 28 and 23. And we were probably like sixth in the West, fifth in the West, something like that. So come out, we take the shackles off. The offense just explodes.
You can curious see word the that door. You use there, shackles. I guess you spelled that with a Q.
we ran more. We posted up less. And everything looked like, wow, we're about to do this. And also during the third game, Amari Stoudemire gets poked in the eye. Now, he had been poked in the eye in training camp, and it was a scary detached retina situation.
He forces him to wear goggles for the rest
of his
career.
That's why he wears goggles. Yep. So, he comes back and he's playing well. And then in those three games, he plays amazing. Because again, it's Amari in a pick and roll and he's exploding the rim and all that stuff. And I can't remember which player it was. I know it was Boris in the training camp, but I can't remember who was in the game. They were going for a rebound and the finger went under the goggles and into his eye. And it's the same eye. Thus detaching the retina again. And every time you detach the retina, apparently it becomes easier and easier to detach. So he has to have surgery. He's out for the year. And so now we're like, well, there goes our, thoughts of making this crazy playoff run. Cause we're having to make up ground in the standings.
Does it feel like your window is closing?
No, it didn't feel like the window's closed.
You've got one more year of Amari Stoudemire under contract, right? Steve Nash is still healthy. Shaq is older. You have traded Sean Marion. So what is the nucleus of your team? What players are ascending under Alvin Gentry that you realize you can continue to build around? I know Grant Hill's a nice little piece for you guys, but are there any players that are like, okay, this person can fill this role, that we got a good one here?
So I don't know how to explain this. You know how in the league there is a limit to how much money you can make in terms of being paid cash for something? They limit it. It's like $5 million a year total coming in and $5 million out. They made that rule because we were a pawn shop and the Portland Trailblazers were buying draft picks off of us. Literally every transaction, $3 million in cash, $3 million in cash, $3 million in cash. We were making like somewhere like $15 million in the span of two years and just selling stuff. Now, the good news about that is you get to turn around and go tell your owner, look, I just made you money, right? Here's some cash in your pocket. The bad news is when your owner expects you to bring in, wait, where's my money? And the worst news, obviously, is when you sell your picks, guess what you don't have? People to build around. So you say, oh, who is the young nucleus you're building around? Like, nobody. I guess you could say Goran Dragic and Robin Lopez, but up until that point, they weren't even playing. They were just guys on the bench and were more kind of – when we drafted them, we looked at them as not just guys who could be our young nucleus moving forward, but guys who could help us now.
So why don't you think that your window is closing? Because it seems fairly obvious because you don't – like Amari's got these injuries. Now, Amari's still a brilliant player, but he's got these injuries – Steve Nash is getting older. Shaq is certainly not the same player. Why all the confidence that your window isn't closing when I'm sure there's a lot of people in the NBA that are writing you guys off?
Steve Nash was still excellent. And I mean, he's 2 years removed from being an MVP. So it's like he's older, but he's not dead. And Amari, when he did play, was awesome. Like for us, like the eye thing is unfortunate and poorly timed and scary. But at the same time, I was like, but his knee's fine, right? Okay, so he'll recover, he'll come back, and he'll be great again. And so between those two, like you had two All-NBA performers. Like everything else is just, all right, we just got to find the right pieces to make it work.
Okay, but you lose him for the season. You lose Amari for the season. How does that season end for Alvin Gentry's Suns?
We had one of the highest win totals in NBA history for a team that doesn't make the playoffs. And more importantly, we got back to the style we wanted to play, and Goran and Robin Lopez, who hadn't been playing, started to play. And that was one of the big problems with Terry, is that he didn't believe in Goran at all from the get. He just didn't believe, like, oh, you guys gave all this money to some kid from Europe. And, because Terry played at Wisconsin Whitewater. He was like, which is a D3 school. Like the epitome of like the grinder who came out of nowhere and had none of the advantages that all the Jordans and these people
had. And as we established two episodes ago, Darko PTSD.
Yeah. Yes. And Darko PTSD. Absolutely. So Terry's like completely out on the kid. And Goran is young and he's not I mean, he's a confident player, but obviously this is a situation that's shaking his confidence. And so he's not playing. And Robin Lopez, who I would say is, you know, not your typical NBA player in terms of personality, that was a hard adjustment for him, like the harsh realities of grown men in the locker room when he's kind of still a kid, loves Disney and loves Star Wars and stuff like that. And so they didn't have a lot of confidence. And when Alvin took over, the first thing he did is he goes to Goran and he says, you're going to play 12 minutes a night. Now, if you play really well, maybe those minutes go more. But I'm going to guarantee you these 12 or 15 minutes a night. But here's the deal. You have to go out there and play. And thing was, because, you know, Goran was like a dog that had been beaten. Anytime you made a sudden movement, he would, you know, proverbially kind of shrink. So when he would make a mistake on the floor, he'd always look at the bench because Terry would pull him out. Basically, one turnover, you're out. One bad shot, you're out. So Alvin, after like a couple of plays, like, look, here's the deal, dude. You're getting your 12 to 15 minutes. But you got to play. If you keep turning around and checking every time you make a mistake, I'm going to pull you out. I'd rather you turn it over every single time in your time than to be scared about what I'm thinking. And because that's going to hamper the way you play. And sure enough, like, Goran starts playing and you can see, oh, wait, there's something here. There's something here. Same thing with Robin Lopez. He does a lot of the things that we need defensively as a big. And offensively, turns out he's actually very well suited to what we do. You know, because a lot of people looked at it, Brooke was the offensive twin and Robin was the defensive.
No, but he was a pretty skilled passer. He would keep the offense moving. He wasn't a liability out there for you guys at all.
Well, early on, the passing part probably was a little hard, but in terms of two things, we need our bigs to do.
Well, you're looking at everything through the Spurs prism, right? He can get some boards for you guys, and he's a sound defensive player. Like, everything that you guys are doing in Phoenix, is it to beat San Antonio?
Yes. I mean, that's who it was. That's who's our arch nemesis. Like, when we looked across the landscape, we didn't look at other teams as, oh, they're pretty good too. It was us and the Spurs, and everybody else is just whoever you are. But
he's pretty decent on the switch too early on.
Yeah, yeah. No, Robin was excellent defensively and offensively. He was great in a pick and roll, like catch, go in and finish. It didn't look athletic or pretty, but like you just couldn't stop him. And then he had like the beginnings of like a little mid-range pick and pop jump shot. So that's all we really needed from our big offensively, and set screens. And he loved setting screens, which was really important for us. So we play the season. At some point, we realize playoffs are going to happen. So now it just turns into setting stuff up for next year and playing the young guys more and all that. And also we're leading towards the draft because we know now we're going to have a lottery pick. And so we're having these conversations about trading, maybe trading our pick, maybe trading one of our players. And the season's going. And I can go through different ways. I can just skip over the end of the season and go right to the draft. Or I can tell you some of the funny pranks that happened during the end of that season.
Tell me the funny pranks. We got about 10 minutes left in this week's episode, a little bit more bridge. So let's get to the funny.
Right. Okay. So Lou Amundsen's on that team. And,
all right, we're already here at the funny.
Yeah. Lou Amundsen lived real near the arena, which is where our practice facility is. So, like, early on, he decided, you know what? I'm not going to drive to practice anymore. I'm going to ride my bike to work and ride my bike back. And the only
and
time
for those
I'm
who aren't familiar with Lou Amundsen, he's got a beautiful ponytail.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but at the time, he's got gorgeous hair. He looks like a guy that would ride his bike to work.
Yes, he looks like an Abercrombie and Fitch naked man in the storefront, right? That's exactly what he looks like. He's a 6'9" white guy from Colorado and with a ponytail and he skateboards. He's exactly what you think of, right? Really nice guy though. But anyway, so Lou says, I'm going to ride my bike and he only drives on game day. So Shaq thought it would be funny if we steal his bike and hide it somewhere different every single day. And when I say somewhere different, I don't mean like, oh, now it's in the showers or whatever. I'm talking about in the arena.
It's like on the rafters?
In the 300 level or 200 level because only two decks in Phoenix. In the 200 level at the very top. in the security office, in maintenance, upstairs in the fourth floor conference room. Like, tortured this dude all year long. Lou takes it with a smile. The second to last day of the year, and to this day, I keep asking Lou, like, why didn't you just wait one more day? The second to last day of the year, yeah, practice. Shaq has a camera crew because he's starting his own reality show or documentary or something. So he's got a camera crew following him. He walks out of practice afterward, and there's his car, which was, you'll love this. Shaq had multiple cars. He had a 18-wheeler, like, truck that he had souped up. He got that by selling his Lamborghini to Amari Stoudemire, and then he took the cash, bought this truck for $60,000 and, like, pocketed it, and then had it all souped up with a Superman grill and you know, custom horns and everything. He also had a Chevy Astro van. Now, it was the most tricked out Chevy Astro van I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the rims were huge on it, but at the end of the day, it's an Astro van. And this was like his quote-unquote day-to-day car. Shaq, buddy, opens the door. It's, you know, heavy tints, of course. Opens the door, nothing but popcorn just flooding out. Like, not real popcorn, like the styrofoam.
Shipping thing. Popcorn.
Yeah. And his cameras are there, and everyone's going, oh, and Shaq is, like, smiling, but I saw the look in his eyes, like, oh, hell. Like, he's going to go after it. So the first thing is an accusation that Amino Hassan was the accomplice. Who could have gotten the car keys? And they blamed me immediately. And I just said, you know what, that's kind of racist. Like, you're going to blame the black guy for stealing your car? So, they keep searching, and then they figure out it was someone else. Then Shaq's revenge is he shows up the next day, like at 5:30. As the head trainer says, he shows up. Head trainer Aaron Nelson is usually the first guy to show up. He shows up, turns on the lights, and Shaq is sitting there in the dark. So he's like, hey, big fella, what's going on? It's the last game of the year, mind you. This is the end of the regular season. And Shaq is just like plotting revenge the whole time. So he gets done with his treatment, gets down, goes to Lou's locker, grabs his sneakers, pees in them.
Oh, Shaq.
Oh, wait, hold on. In case you didn't know, like, Shaq is the big prankster, the big joker, but if you do something against him, it is, like, there's no, like, tit for tat. There's tit for nuclear war, like right after it. Like, literally, you slap him and he'll bring down. Like,
so we're just starting with peeing in the shoes.
That's the start, right? He then goes and let's just say messes with some of Lou's hair care devices, like his brush and his comb. So messes with them. Let me put it this way:
I can get an idea.
Yeah, messes with them in a way that. I was comfortable telling you he peed in the shoes. I'm not comfortable telling you what he did to the hair stuff. And then this part I will tell you, and this is my, he tampers with Lou's mouth guard.
How so?
He tampers with it. So
does he put the mouth guard somewhere?
He tampers with it. Shaq, now mind you, he's done all of these things, these despicable build up kind of things, but the way he covers for it is perfect, because Lou shows up at like 8 or whenever he usually shows up, and he's skittish and nervous, and Suns.com is there like, what do you think Shaq's going to do? He's like, I don't know, I think he's going to do something though. And so I'll never forget this, he's sitting at the locker, he opens, he starts to reach for the sneakers and then looks at them and says, nah, something doesn't feel right. Opens the drawer, pulls out a fresh pair of sneakers for the last game of the year, right? This is irregular behavior. You usually have a couple of sneakers, you break them in for the year and you switch between two or three or four, whatever. So to break out a whole brand new pair just off GP was kind of weird. So we go to, it was shoot around. So we had film session. We're in film and everyone's like, Lou's watching Alvin. Lou's sitting up front. Alvin's going through the film. Everyone in the room is staring at Lou. Shaq has decided to cover up for everything to orchestrate a fake prank, which is when he leaves here, everybody tackle him. And then I have clippers on me. So sure enough, we get out, we walk out, everybody tackles. Lou starts, because everyone thought Shaq's thing, revenge, was he's going to shave that ponytail, Lou. He's going to shave that ponytail. So Shaq gets him, grabs him like he's going to scalp him, right? Full on, buzzes the clippers like, oh, you think you can prank me? And he like moves to the hair, and then at the last minute fakes and shaves off half his eyebrow.
And then horrible behavior, abhorrent.
Lou wriggles away and runs away, right? Like, runs to the practice court where we're about to start a shoot around. I just remember this is in the middle of a shoot around practice. All right. So we go through it, and Lou gets on his bike, I forgot to tell you what the last straw was. The last straw why Lou decided to retaliate was they literally just disassembled the bike. Like, we went back to the locker room, and it was just like a frame, and one wheel was over here, and the wheel over there, and the chain is laid out.
That is a lot of work.
Dude, and that was the one where everyone was like, all right, you've gone too far.
Lou had to put the bike back together. All right. Yeah, so that's what led up to the popcorn retaliation.
That's the popcorn retaliation.
All right. So Lou has escaped the pile thinking that this is the main revenge prank by Shaq. Yeah. He's missing half an eyebrow, but he still has his ponytail. I'm sure he's happy that he still has his ponytail.
Yeah, he's like, oh, that was scary. Da, da, da. He goes home, comes back. And so now we're like, yo, someone needs to tell him. I'm not, because the problem is if you tell him and Shaq finds out, guess what? Now you're the guy.
You're the next target.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, man, I ain't going to tell him, whatever. So game day, puts on his shoes, right? He's got the mouth guard. Most of the time when you're an NBA player, you don't put on your mouth guard immediately. You have it in a case and you give the case to the trainer. And then you go out to the bench. And then when you're about to come in the game, that's when you grab your mouthpiece. And when you're not in the game, a lot of times you'll see them pass it back to the trainer or equipment manager, someone like that. So he doesn't have his mouthpiece, right? He runs out there, go through warmups. Everyone is just kind of like looking at each other like, oh man, this is going to be a crazy day. Coincidentally, at the same time, Grant Hill needs like 15 points to average 12 points per game on the year. And if he does, he gets like a gajillion dollar bonus from Nike, right? So in the back of our minds, we know we want Grant Hill to score, right?
It's a shame it's not coming from Fila.
No, yeah, at that point, he was a Nike guy. I think he's back with Fila.
He's always going to be a Fila guy.
Well, now he's back. He's back. They brought him back. So we go out there, and like literally three things are happening. Like first, we start with everyone's just staring at Lou. Lou starts on the bench. We start the game. Everyone's kind of like restless looking at Alvin when he's going to call on Lou. Somebody gets their second foul. Dude goes to the free throw line, send Lou to the scorer's table. He runs up. He's got his mouthpiece on him, doesn't put it in his mouth yet. Everyone's watching. Lou comes out, checks in. First free throw goes up. Good. All right. Second free throw is about to go up. Lou's about to put his mouth guard in. Alvin calls timeout. The whole bench is off. So there's no funnier image than Alvin drawing up a play, like kneeling down, coaches standing around him, Lou sitting there because now he's in the game. The guys who are in the game are usually seated, sitting there just staring at the clipboard, you know, trying, all right, coach, I got you. And everyone else is just staring at Lou. Like no one's paying attention.
What's Shaq doing?
Just staring. Everyone's just staring and smiling. Everybody get in the game. Second free throw's up. Good. Lou grabs the ball, steps out, inbounds, puts the mouth guard in. One, two. Oh, takes the mouth guard out and flings it with tremendous accuracy at the bench, right? Everyone starts dying. I remember going back and watching the broadcast because Suns bench seemed to getting a lot of fun out of it. They had no idea what was happening, but that literally was our entire thing, right? So game goes on. Shaq's out the game. Shaq then tells Robin and Goran that no matter what Alvin draws up in this timeout, you guys are going to do a pick and pop for three. I don't give a shit what happens. And if you don't, like, there's going to be repercussions. So Alvin draws up this play, and I'm looking at Robin and Goran, and they're just sweating bullets. And so they go out there, and you know, right before the play kicks off, you know, like, you know, they're about to inbound. Goran and Robin both turn around, and they look back at the bench, and Shaq gives them the, like, the do it or else. They go out there, and I've never seen a more nervously run pick and pop in my life. I mean, it was like Goran was shaking as he dribbled. He comes off, throws it back. Robin, like, it takes him forever, like, to just get into the shooting motion and rise up and shoot. Everyone on the bench is dying laughing. Alvin's going insane. it was just crazy. And so then the last thing was that Grant Hill has to hit this thing. So if you look at that season, I think he averaged about 11 field goal attempts a game. He shot like 33 that night. And when he finally got the basket, everybody goes nuts. And like the broadcasters are just confused by all of this. Like the Suns bad. Like, did I have money on this? What's going on? So those are the pranks that kind of ended the year.
You're not going to tell me how he tampered with the mouthpiece.
I'm not going to say that on air, but I can tell you later. But the point being is everyone, we ended the season not making the playoffs, but we felt like the young guys we drafted look like they're players now. We felt like we're moving in the right direction. Amari got hurt, but when he was healthy, we were killing. You know, we probably would have made the playoffs if he hadn't gotten hurt. All those things.
Team's obviously getting along. Everyone likes Coach Gentry.
Everyone loves Alvin, and Shaq was all-star MVP, so he's shown like a lot of mobility. And by the way, we decided there's no chance in hell we can keep Shaq. he's got to go. Got to go because.
So you're teasing next week's episode.
Yeah, because he had tasted, right? You know, like he's a domesticated animal who then tasted like prey again, and they became feral. So, you know, he had come to us humble and meek, and I'm just happy my career is not over. And Terry Porter, through running a lot of triangle offense, like throw it to the big man, had turned Shaq into like the raging egomaniac that, you know, I'm sure happens in every other stop that he has. So the decision is made that we got to trade Shaq. We actually had a trade for him at the trade deadline. And Steve said, look, here's the deal. We're going to go in a different direction, but I'm not going to send you anywhere. I have too much respect for you.
Steve Kerr, the GM.
And so he says, we have a trade for you to Portland. Portland wanted him. And Shaq said he didn't want to go.
You guys are getting along with Tom Penn's Portland Trailblazers, huh?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, Shaq didn't want to go. I think there's a game where if you see Shaq, like, get fouled in Portland, and then he walks up and he sees Paul Allen and he shakes his hand. Like, that's from right around. He shook his hand because he heard that they liked him. But Shaq didn't want to go to Portland. I was just like, even though they were a playoff team and we were kind of on the bubble or on the fringe. But for him, it was like, that's a no-go. So, but we figured that, look, Shaq's got to go. We got to streamline this team back into a more up-and-down team. And also Robin Lopez, who's mobile but also big, kind of like satisfied a lot of things that we were looking for. And so the decision is made. We got to trade Shaq, and we have a trade to move Amari on the table. And in the process, we're going to get a top 10 pick in the draft. And our target was someone who we codenamed Black Nash. He played at a little school called Davidson.
This is the Steph Curry trade. We'll get into that next week. It's a great tease for all that. We'll get into how the Suns move on from Shaq, how they possibly move on with Amari Stoudemire, who has an impending decision about a year away. So decisions have to be made there, and we'll finally get to learn about the rumored Steph Curry interest from Phoenix. We'll get that whole breakdown next week. Amino Hassan, former Suns front office. What's your title at this point? Assistant what?
Director of basketball operations, but kind of most of it at that time was like more like scouting director. I was organizing like maps and like scouting trips and saying, okay, you got to hit up this guy, and this guy on this trip, and like setting itineraries and stuff like that. And then a little scouting on my own and stuff like that. So,
all right. So he's climbing up the ranks. So we'll get all the good stuff from Amino Hassan next week on the next episode of the Sun Saga with Amino Hassan. Amin, thank you for waking up with us.
No problem.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.